Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Amen. Hope happens here. And that's the theme of Back to Church Month, and it's the theme of the series that we will be considering from the Word of God for the next 4 weeks. And today's message is titled Hope for the Weary. Hope for the Weary. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We'll be reading that just in a moment. But hope is something that the world desperately needs now. Our country, our community, our world, there's just so much going on that people need hope. Especially now, you know, since the last 2 years have been extremely challenging with all of the ongoing impacts of the pandemic. And some people lost jobs, some have lost loved ones. In some ways, we've lost our freedom in that we can't just go about life easily without concern of being infected or what have you. And we're living each day with the uncertainty of what the future may hold. I mean, now we're even hearing about monkeypox, you know, and you're kind of like, okay, what's next? What's the next shoe that's going to drop, you know? Then there's the economy with a record level rising inflation and so many other issues in our world. Now there's the fear that our country will go into a recession. And then add to that the daily demands of life and our own set of personal problems. How many of you got your own set of personal problems? Amen. Okay, half of you said yes. So the rest of you, we need to have an altar call for liars. So, man, because we all have our own personal problems, and it weighs heavily on our psyche, and it drains us emotionally, and it distresses our mind. In an article titled 2021, The State of Mental Health in America, it said that the rates of anxiety and depression are at the highest levels in the United States. These alarming rates of anxiety and depression are indicators of the hopelessness and the despair that has taken a hold of the hearts of so many people en masse. That's why Proverbs 13:12 says, loss of hope makes our heart sick. Hopelessness affects us mentally, it affects us emotionally, it affects us physically, and of course it can affect us spiritually. And that's why we're starting a new series for Back to Church Month titled Hope Happens Here. When we say that hope is here, we're not saying that hope is in this building, and that or that hope is here because of me or because of anyone else here. We're saying that hope is here because of one person that is present in our midst, and he is the God-man, Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the source of our hope, and that's why we can confidently declare hope happens here, because we know who Jesus is. We know what Jesus has done in our lives and what he has promised to do. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of the story of a man who was sentenced to death, and he obtained a reprieve by assuring the king that he would teach his majesty's horse how to fly, on the condition that if he didn't succeed, he would be put to death at the end of 1 year. Within a year, the man explained later to a friend, the king may die, or I may die, or his horse may die. Furthermore, in a year, who knows? Maybe the horse will learn to fly. He had hope because he believed that in a year's time, something would change. There was a possibility something would change, and it would change his outcome. Of course, his hope was more wishful thinking than it was anything that really had substance to it. But our hope is a confident expectation that is based on fact. Because Jesus died and rose again, fact, we can have hope, confident expectation that anything is possible. Because if he rose from the dead, then anything is possible. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hope happens here because Jesus is alive and because he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is here right now with us. Now, today in specific, we want to talk about hope for the weary. Does anybody just feel worn out, tired, exhausted? You feel like you can't take another step? I'll be transparent. The last several months have been very difficult for me since my mother became bedbound, and she is now in hospice in my home. And so for the first few months, it was just really me taking care of her. Thankfully, we eventually got her approved for some long-term care, and so we have a caregiver 6 hours a day. But the rest of the day at night, it's still me, myself, and I. We're the team that takes care of her, you know. And so I'm working full-time, doing ministry, and taking care of mom is a full-time day and night job. Amen. And so there have been times that I just felt wore out. There have been times I've said to God, God, I can't take another step. But I can assure you that every time I've turned to God, He has given me the strength. That's why I'm still able to be here today. Amen. But I think we all go through times where life just exhausts us, where we feel like we just can't go another step. You feel heavy, you feel weighed down. Well, you're just the people that I want to talk to this morning. And you're the people Jesus wants to talk to. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, He's talking to us, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest. There's that word again. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus knows that life in this world is hard. He understands that life's trials and circumstances have a way of weighing down on us, burdening us, and wearing away at us. Many people are living in a state of chronic overdrive, that they're just constantly, their emotions, their mind is just constantly churning and churning and churning, and that leads to mental, emotional, and physical exhaustion and stress. Many have lost hope of life ever being any different than the striving and the difficulty of what they're going through right now. I believe most of us here today and those watching online know exactly what that feels like. And we need to be reminded that there is hope. Jesus invites those who are weary, those who are worn out, and those who are weighed down. That's me sometimes. Is that you sometimes? Turn to your neighbor and say, that's me. Turn to your other neighbor and say, that's me. Amen. So Jesus invites me and He invites you, those who are weary, worn out, weighed down by the burdens of life, to come to Him, to follow Him, and to find rest. He offers true peace, rest, and hope as we exchange our heavy burden for His light yoke. And the first thing we learn from Jesus' words is that we experience hope for our weariness by coming to Jesus in faith. Jesus is the answer for the weariness of our soul. You see, the world tries to find rest for their soul in many places. They take vacations and come back just as tired and stressed out as when they left. They binge watch their favorite show as a means of escape. But once that show is over with, the weariness, the stress, the burden comes back. They may escape for a while through a sporting event, but when it's over with, that weariness, that heaviness comes back. Some practice yoga or meditation. Some try to unwind through alcohol. Or they indulge themselves in the momentary pleasures of sex or some other type of worldly pleasure. And even though these things may provide a momentary or temporary escape, even though they may provide a moment of enjoyment or pleasure, nothing of this world provides true and lasting relief for our soul. Nothing of this world can give us true rest. There's a true story of a king named Frederick the Great who had a summer palace built as a getaway. He named it Sans Souci, which means without worry. In fact, in Miami, there's a city called Sans Souci by the ocean, right? And it's called, it means without worry. So he builds this whole palace as a summer getaway so he can escape from the rigors and stress and burden of being a king for a short while at his this resort, this palace. However, he soon found that he could not close out the worries and the weight of his duties by enclosing himself in a private enclave in the country. Because no matter what, he carried all of those worries and all of those burdens in his heart and mind wherever he went. How many of you know that? Amen? Only in Jesus can we find true rest. And because when we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, we carry him with us wherever we go, then we can have rest wherever we go. Amen? Jesus invites us to come to him. It is an invitation of faith. And for those who might not yet have a relationship with Jesus, his invitation to come to him means to come to him in faith. It means to trust him as our Savior with the burden of our sins and to receive his forgiveness so that we can come into right relationship with God as our Father and we as his children. God loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants to be involved in every area of your life because he cares about you. So he wants to work in our life. He wants to work in our circumstances, and he wants to help us in everything that we may be facing that so stresses us out and burdens us down. So when he invites us to come to him, what he's saying is, you don't have to face life alone. You don't have to bear these burdens by yourself. Through faith in Christ and through his body in this world, his church, he wants to help lift the weight from our shoulders so that we can have rest. But we have to take the first step. We have to come to him and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I give my life to you. When I was a youth pastor in Miami, the nephew of a friend of mine had come to live with her and her parents from New Jersey. He had been suffering severe depression, and he had attempted suicide several times. They had taken him to different psychologists and what have you, but none of it had helped. My friend from work, I had met her at work, I had recently led her to the Lord, and she asked me, can you reach out to my nephew? Can you minister to my nephew? And so I first invited him to some fun activities that our youth group were doing. We had a beach day, and I invited him to the beach day, and he came. We had another sporting event for our youth group, and we invited him to that sporting event. Nothing churchy, nothing, you know, I'm preaching at him or anything like that. But once he began to bring down some of those walls and make those connections, then I invited him to our youth ministry on a Friday night. And he came, and that first Friday night there, he encountered Jesus and received him as his Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. The moment he came to Jesus in faith, his whole disposition changed. Because even when he was going to these other activities, you can see when someone is depressed. You can see it on their countenance. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in the way they walk. And so even when he was coming to these events, you could see the depression on him. But that night, when he accepted Jesus as Savior, his entire disposition changed. Amen? And a few weeks later, he didn't use the word testify because he was new to Christianity, but he wanted to share his story with our youth group. And I remember his words today, just as powerfully as the night this young man spoke. He said, you know, before coming to Jesus, it was like I was just existing. I was dead on the inside, but I was just existing on the outside. He said, but when you come to Jesus, you are alive. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Something changed inside of him the moment he came to Jesus, because he found hope and he found rest for his soul. Hallelujah. The weight of that sin had lifted from him. The spirit of heaviness had been taken from him. That depression that had bound his soul was lifted and broken, and he found rest and peace in Jesus. Now I want you to notice, Jesus said, come to me. He didn't say, just go and do some more religious stuff. He said, come to me. He wasn't adding a bigger burden to the shoulders of people who were already burdened. He was just saying, come to me. Just enter into relationship with me, and I will give you rest. And coming to Jesus starts with that step of faith. For some, That first step of faith is to come to him for salvation. Repent of your sins, place your faith in him, receive his love and forgiveness, and that will free you from the weight and burden of sin, guilt, and shame. It will free you from the burden of striving to please God, striving to be good enough, striving to be perfect, because none of us can be. We are saved by grace. It's the free gift of God. Then the changes that need to happen in our life, he does that while we cooperate with him. Hallelujah. Now, for those of us who have already accepted Christ, the step of faith that we may need to make is getting connected to a body of believers where the Bible says we bear one another's burdens. You know, it's so much easier to go through the trials of life when there are other people there supporting us and encouraging us and praying for us. And I've found that to be so true during this time with my mother. I'm so grateful for all of you who have reached out and have encouraged me and have prayed for me. I'm grateful for a couple of you that, and I say a couple because we're not having loads of people come in to visit my mother because she's very weak and can barely talk. But there's some of you that are close to my mother and that you come week after week. She so looks forward to your visits, and so do I, because they are extremely encouraging. And I want to thank you that I'm not bearing this burden alone. But I know that you are bearing it with me, because every week you ask, how's your mom? I'm praying for you, Pastor, person after person. And many of you have reached out. And some of you, as I said, come on a regular basis and visit my mother. And I appreciate that so much, because I have Jesus. Amen. And I love Jesus. But his body is Jesus with skin on. Amen. That's what we are. We are Jesus with skin on. And sometimes people need Jesus with skin on to bring encouragement. So for some of us, the step of faith we may need to make is to get connected to a body of believers, so that when you are heavy burdened, when you are going through your trial, you will have people around you who are Jesus with skin on. Amen. And you can also be Jesus with skin on for other people in the body of Christ. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. For believers, another step of faith that we might need to make is calling upon him in prayer. Carrying the burden of our worries and troubles makes us weary, but casting our burdens and worries on him gives us strength. He takes the heavy load, and he gives us strength. Folks, there is hope for you if you'll just take that step of faith and come to him. Hallelujah. Another principle we see from the words of Jesus is that we experience hope for our weariness by continually depending on Jesus. We find hope by taking that first step of faith to come to him, but we live in hope by surrendering daily to him in faith. Jesus invites us to come to him, but then he invites us to take his yoke and learn of him. He's talking about a daily walk of following him, of learning of him, of becoming his disciple. Now, when he says, take my yoke, what does that mean? When we think of a yoke, we think of an additional burden. In biblical times, they didn't have tractors, so they used animals, oxen generally, to plow fields. And so a yoke was a wooden harness. It was flat on top and generally shaped with a curve to go over the shoulders of the oxen, and it tied basically two animals together so that their combined strength, they could pull a plow, or they could pull a cart, or whatever needed to be pulled. And the yoke enabled the farmer to control the animals and lead them where they needed to go. For the Jews, the yoke represented submission to the law. The Bible talks about the yoke that nobody could bear was that obedience to the Old Testament law. Because as Paul says, the law was never intended to save, because nobody can keep the law. God never intended the law to save. God intended the law to show us our sinfulness so we could see our need for a Savior. So the law was a yoke, a heavy burden that no man could bear, because nobody could keep the law perfectly to please God. And so for them, the law was this heavy burden, too heavy for anybody to bear. But Jesus invites us not to submit to a bunch of rules, but to surrender to a person who loves us beyond our wildest imagination, a person who was willing to give his life for us. And so when he says, take my yoke, he's saying, surrender to me. I love you so much, he's saying, I'll take care of you. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. See, labor is trying to press our way through life, and the heavy burdens are all the external factors that weigh us down, problems, difficulties, circumstances that are outside of our control. But Jesus says, come to me, all ye who are worn out by trying to do life yourself, all who feel overwhelmed by life and all of its complexities, all of you who have so many problems, you don't even know where to start. The yoke of life in a sin-fallen world is heavy. Life is hard. But Jesus says, my yoke is light. Religion offers a yoke that just adds a greater burden to people. But Jesus says, my yoke is not heavy. My yoke is light. Ray Ortland states, Jesus is using a kind of irony, saying that the yoke laid on his disciples is really a non-yoke, because it's a yoke of love and kindness. It's like telling a drowning man that he needs to put on a life preserver, only to hear him shout back, sputtering as he spits water out, no way, this is hard enough, drowning here in these stormy waters, I don't need an additional burden. That would be crazy, right? Because a life preserver is not a burden. It's something that's going to help you. It's going to rescue you. But the man says, the last thing I need is an added burden of life preserver around my body. No, that's the thing you need most. So when Jesus says, come unto me and take my yoke, he's not adding something heavy to us. He's throwing us a life preserver. He's saying, grab on. I'm holding the other end of the rope. I'll help you. Hallelujah. Someone has said that Jesus' yoke does for his followers what helium does for a balloon. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we're so burdened down, we just need Jesus to come and inflate us back up. Amen. Right. So many people look at giving our life to Jesus as a heavy burden rather than a wonderful blessing. But taking his yoke is exchanging the heavy burden or yoke of all of the problems and circumstances of this life that are out of our control and giving him control over our life so he can carry the burden and he can give us rest. Peter expressed it this way in 1 Peter 5:7. He says, casting all your cares on him. And that word casting is like taking a burden, like you're carrying a heavy burden and you throw it off of your shoulders. And you throw it on Jesus's. Amen? Amen. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Praise the Lord. He loves us so much that we can trust him with everything, all of our cares, anything that concerns us. Folks, whatever concerns you concerns him because he loves you. And we can cast off that heavy burden of trying to make it through life and face all of trials on our own. We can cast off that heavy burden and know that he will carry that burden, that we don't face life alone. When we surrender ourselves to Jesus, we belong to him. So that means now my problems are his problems. Here you go, Jesus. You take care of it. That's what we're doing. When we cast our problems on him, when we surrender ourselves to Jesus, we give our all to him, and our problem becomes his problem. I read the story of a Bible teacher who was reading this passage of scripture, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, take my yoke upon you. She was reading that to her Bible class, and she said to the kids, who can tell me what a yoke is? And a boy said, a yoke is something that they put on the neck of animals. Then the teacher asked, what is the yoke that God puts on us? And a little girl said, it's God putting his arm around our necks. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of children. Amen. That is exactly what it is. It's God coming alongside of us, putting his arm around our neck and saying, I'm here with you. I'm walking. I'm carrying you. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. To take his yoke is simply to surrender ourselves to him. And surrender is letting go. It's letting go and living in the embrace of a God who loves us, trusting him to do what he believes needs to be done to solve our problems. And we live in hope by walking daily in partnership with Jesus. Remember, what does a yoke do? It joins or connects or ties two oxen together. So when we take Jesus's yoke, a part of the yoke is over him and a part of the yoke is over us. So that means that we are now in partnership with Jesus. But how many of you know he's carrying the heavier part? So how do we take his yoke? We do that by learning of him. And how do we learn of him? We learn of him through his word. So we daily study his word, read his word, pray his word into our lives. We regularly sit under the preaching and teaching of God's word so that we can learn more of Jesus and his ways for our life. And taking his yoke is an invitation to be his disciple. It's an invitation to follow him. That means being committed to his word and to his work. As we stay in his word, we learn more of him. Our faith grows. Our life is changed. We learn to walk in his ways. And we find that his commands are not burdensome. They are a blessing because his commands lead us to the best possible life. So when we're in our love relationship with God, the Bible says his commands are not burdensome to us. If we're in a religious relationship with God, then the commands are burdensome. Amen? But as we follow him, we find that it's a delight to obey him and to do his will because it's a blessing. And as we follow him, not only do we stay in his word, but we engage in his work. And engaging in his work, we discover our purpose. We discover the reason for which God created us and the gifts that God placed in us. We discover our purpose in this world. This is the reason that I exist. It is to serve Jesus. It's to do his work. And that's where we find fulfillment. That's where we find satisfaction. And that's where we find rest. Because until we find our place in him, our soul is restless. But when we find our place in him and say, this is what he created me for, this is my purpose, then we are at rest. And you know what? His work is not a burden when we are in relationship with him. Some people say, oh, Pastor, you're telling me to get involved in his work. I can't add another thing to my plate. And we look at working for Jesus like it's another burden, when in fact it is a great burden. Blessing. Because when we're in relationship with him, he is the one that is working in us and through us. It reminds me of the story of a father who was mowing his lawn, and as he pushed the mower, he had his young son walking in front of him. You know how mowers, they have the high level of the handle, and then they usually have a middle level? So he had his little boy holding the middle level, and he was holding the high level of the mower, and they were, you know, mowing the lawn. And so when they had finished, the little boy looked back at the nicely manicured lawn, and he excitedly said, look, Daddy, look what I did. That's how it is when we work for the Lord, under his yoke and not striving in our own strength. He's the one that does all the heavy pushing. Amen. He's the one that's working through us, but we get the joy and excitement of seeing him touch and change lives. Hallelujah. And there is no greater joy. Amen. So take his yoke. Find your place in his work, and you're going to find joy. And that joy is going to give strength to your life. A minister shared the story of a Hindu priest who was preparing for an upcoming festival in their religion. So he went to a nearby store to buy some of those colored dyes. You see all of that going on nowadays with those colored dye runs. That is tied into Hinduism. It is tied into Eastern mystical religion. So I would just, as an extra sermon, no extra charge, be careful of engaging in those things or allowing your kids to engage in those things, because I know a lot of public schools even now sponsor those kind of color dye runs and everything like that. So just a word of caution to you. But anyway, he went to buy some of this powder dye for his robes for this great occasion, and he took it home. And when he unwrapped the package, he found some strange words written on the paper. It said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Again and again, those words began to play over in his mind. What did they mean? Was that not what he had been looking for all of these years? Was that not what led him to become a Hindu priest? Was this not the answer to his life's problems? This is the rest he wanted. But he didn't know where to find it. He didn't know what those words meant. So he passed the note on to another Hindu priest, and he asked him to find out where these words came from and what they meant. So the priest searched diligently every day, carrying this piece of paper with him, trying to find out what these words meant. He carried the piece of paper everywhere he went, seizing every opportunity to show it to folks and ask people if anybody knew about these words. One day, he came upon a group of Christians holding a service in the open air of the city. And he stopped for a moment to listen. And he heard for the first time of one who could save him from his sin and give him a new life. And then he heard those famous words repeated, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And in Jesus, he found the rest that he had been searching for his whole life. In these verses that we read this morning, Jesus spells out the answer for all of our problems and all of our burdens. He says simply, "Come to me." Those three words are the answer. Come to me, and I will give you rest. For those who have already taken the step of faith to come to Jesus as your Savior, then he calls you now to take his yoke and become his disciple. Join yourself to him. Surrender yourself to him. Let him carry the burdens of your life. And you take his yoke, which is light. Make the decision every day to live for him and to partner together with him in his work. For those who do not yet know Jesus, he invites you to come to him today in faith and in repentance. Take him as your Lord, receive him as your Savior, and enter into the rest of salvation. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today or you're listening online and you have never placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior and repented of your sins, or maybe you did it many years ago and you've drifted away, I want to invite you to do it in just a moment. You see, we're all sinners, and sin separated us from God, and we were carrying that burden of sin and guilt and shame all on our own. But Jesus, when he came, he carried our sin, our guilt, and our shame to the cross. He was sinless, but he took our sin. And he gave his life as the payment for our sin. And today, when we repent, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, when we turn away from our sin and we turn to him in faith and we ask him to forgive us, in that very moment, he forgives us and cleanses us of all of our sins. And we are born again. We are made spiritually alive, and we are brought into relationship with God. And so today, I want to invite you to repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus. Let him take the burden of your sin, your guilt, and your shame, and let him give you a new life. Let him give you spiritual rest. Now, if you would like to accept Jesus or rededicate yourself to Christ, I want to ask you to just say this simple prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life, and I turn to you in faith. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and I invite you to come live inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to be the first to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and I welcome you to the family of God. Amen. I'd like to ask you, if you're here in-house, if we could put up the screen for that. If you're here in-house, if you would just text "I prayed" to the number on the screen. We want to send you free of charge a little booklet to help you understand the prayer you just prayed and your next steps, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. And we want to help you to continue now in your faith journey of walking with the Lord. So we want to send you free of charge this little e-booklet, but we need your email address to do so. So we'd ask you just to text "I prayed" to the number on the screen, or if online you just prayed that prayer, just type "I prayed" in the comments. A little later today, you'll get a response message with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send you this little booklet free of charge. But in the meantime, I want to just encourage you that just prayed and every Christian to do three things to help us stay yoked to Jesus. The first thing is to talk to him every single day. That's what we call prayer. It's just having a conversation with God. Amen. Start by thanking him for all the good things in your life, because the Bible says every good thing comes from him. So thank him for the blessings in your life, and then talk to him about whatever problems, needs, decisions, or situations you may be facing, and ask his help and ask his guidance. That's how we surrender to him every day. And then secondly, let God talk to you every day. And you may say, well, Pastor, how does God talk to us? He talks to us in many ways, but the number one way is through the Bible. That's his word, his message to us. And if you don't have a printed Bible, I want to encourage you to download the YouVersion app for free on your phone or tablet. You can read the Bible there as much as you want. There's never a charge. So download that app. And then I want to encourage you to start reading in a little book in the New Testament called 1 John. It's only 5 chapters long, but it tells us who Jesus is and what he has done for us. So it'll help you understand the prayer you just prayed and what it means in your life. Just read a few verses every day. Pray before you read. Ask God to help you understand what you're reading. What you don't understand, put it to the side. When you need to know it, God will let you understand it. What you do understand, pray and ask God to help you apply it to your life. And then the third thing is to get connected to a local church. That family of God, Jesus with skin on, we are the body of Christ. Get connected to a local church. Don't just attend services, but get connected. Build relationships within the body of Christ so that we can all minister to one another, support one another, and encourage one another. Of course, if you're in the South Florida area, we would love to have you as a part of our wonderful New Life family. We welcome you. If you're online, you're watching from another area, please try to find an Assembly of God church near to you and get connected there and put down deep roots. If we do these three things on a regular basis, we will have a vibrant and growing relationship with the Lord. We will be walking yoked to him. So I encourage you to do that. Once again, congratulations to all of you who just prayed, and we welcome you to the family of God. Amen. For those who are already believers, Jesus is calling us to come and take his yoke. The yoke of surrender, the yoke of partnership. Surrender yourself in a fresh and new way today. Surrender to him all the burdens that have been weighing you down, and then take his yoke, partner with him in his work. Say, Lord, I want to live for you, and I want my life to count for you. I want to do your work. I want to fulfill your purpose with my life. So as believers, if you're willing to do that, I want to ask you to make a step to make that commitment, to surrender yourself anew to him, to surrender whatever burdens may be weighing you down, and to take his yoke by partnering together with him and saying, God, I give you my life. I want to live for your purpose. If that's your desire, I want to ask you to stand to your feet right where you are. Just stand to your feet right where you are. And I want to ask you to talk to Jesus. Talk to him from your heart. I'm going to pray over us, but Jesus wants to hear your voice making this commitment. So would you right now talk to Jesus and make that commitment? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all of these that are standing. I thank you that they have heard and received your word with an open heart. I thank you for the readiness of spirit that they have, Lord God, to respond and say, yes, Lord, I want to put this word into practice in my life. And so as we stand before you today, we are coming to you in faith to take your yoke, Lord God. We surrender ourselves to you. We surrender every burden that has been weighing us down. We just take it and we cast it off onto you right now, Lord God. And Father, in exchange, we receive your rest. And Father, right now we take the yoke of Jesus. We join ourselves to him. We partner ourselves to him to live according to his will and to serve his purpose. We give our lives to you today. Father, may our lives count for your purpose, for your kingdom, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to find the purpose for your kingdom for which you created us. so that we can work and serve Jesus and find the fulfillment, the satisfaction, and the rest of being yoked to Jesus. We pray this today, and we ask you by the help of the Holy Spirit that you will enable us to live it out long after the service has ended, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.